What is up, crew? TGIF. Happy Friday to everybody out there. Welcome to Farm Friday. And got a good one. Last week we couldn't quite make it happen, but we've got it rescheduled for this week. So I know several of you have been waiting on this one. Gonna bring in Jeff from Allegiance Ammunition here in a few minutes. And yeah, we're going to talk about some very cool stuff, I think. So let me do a couple of things right off the bat here, and I'll do it throughout the show as well. But I want to drop a few links out there in the chat. Let me back up a couple of pages here and grab the link for the website. I want to make sure that all of you out there have the opportunity to kind of check things out. That way, you can better ask your questions as we go along here. So there is the website, and then also I'll drop. It's going to be kind of hard to check out these videos and other things on the YouTube page over there, but I'll go ahead and drop that link as well. You may want to copy that for later, and once we're done here, maybe go over there and follow up by watching that and actually seeing some of this ammunition in action over there. So and again, I'll drop those again as we fill up the room, as the notifications go out and all that good kind of stuff. We'll get it done for you, so don't worry about that too much. Also, I'm gonna grab the link to clovertac.com. I'll drop that in there because I want to remind you that whether you're here live or replay, of course, clovertac.com is going to have your discount codes for a few products, going to have some affiliate links over there that certainly help the channel out. You can get to all of the social media platforms, audio, video, podcast platforms. We're on all of that good kind of stuff. Patreon, if that's something that you're potentially looking to do, you can find all that over at clovertac.com. So do that. We are live, of course, on the YouTubes here. And we're also simulcast over on gunchannels.com. So final link, I guess I'll grab and drop in here, at least for the time being, is for the channel over there on gunchannels.com. Now, I will mention, as we're moving along, obviously we're open to questions as we're running through the conversation here. So don't be afraid to throw those out there if you have them. As far as the gun channel side goes, you want to use the chat, not the one underneath the embedded live stream, but the little chat room tab in the bottom right-hand corner. If you'll click on that, that one should refresh automatically, should stay live with you, should work really well, and just throw your questions down there. As far as the YouTube side, obviously just throw them out there in the chat. It's pretty much that easy. It's going to be a little better if you can tag somebody on the panel. We've got MW Tactical, of course, that's Mike. We've got Ghost Tactical, and then we've got Gun Websites in here as well. So either one of those three or myself, CloverTac, just type the at symbol, the screen name, the user profile name, whatever you want to call it there. Put your message in, and we should be good to go. With that, let's say hello to my helpers, producers, special guests, panelists for the night, whatever label you want to put on them, I guess. Start off with Mike. How's it going, Mike?
It's going good. Another rainy day in Columbia, South Carolina, but it doesn't slow down the progress. And like always, I'm here to have an interesting conversation.
Absolutely. Without a doubt. And thanks for jumping in, helping out. Appreciate it. We got Mr. G-Webs in the house. What's happening, G?
Not much. Thanks for the invite. I like to think of us as highly paid talent.
There you go. Yeah, we're the cream, absolute cream of the crop. I can promise you.
Well, we are. No one paying us highly, so.
Yeah. I mean, I only bring in the best, right? That's just the way it is. Whether it's my panelists or my guests or whoever it might be, or even the people out in the chat, you know.
At least the most, maybe not the best.
You know, if you fly with CloverTac, baby, you fly with the best. That's all I got to say about it. So, Ghost in the house with us. What's happening, brother?
You know, I just want to know, am I Kramer in this or am I Costanza? I'm not really sure where I fit into this triangle thing here.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good.
Yeah. Yeah,
you're more.
Honestly,
of a
I'm just here because I have a crush on Mike, so
I think you're more of a Costanza.
Keep it down. I'll give autographs after the show.
I hate to say that, but I would. You would be a Costanza, I believe.
You're smaller than I am, so why aren't you Costanza?
Well, I don't know. It has something to do with that. Has something to do with the with just the demeanor and the attitude, I think, more than anything. You're not quite out there enough to be a Kramer.
Is anybody?
I do know a few people, but they'll remain nameless during this chat. Does that sound okay?
No, yeah, I understand.
Yeah. So, without further ado, let's get this show on the road. Bring in Jeff from Allegiance Ammunition. How are you, Jeff? You doing good?
Brother, if it's any better, I couldn't stand it.
I hear you. Now, I guess, first of all, the first question we need to hit on, I guess, is where are you guys located out of?
Located in a town in the southwest part of Virginia called Wood.
Okay.
We're out in the tri-state area, about 30 minutes from Kentucky and 45 minutes from Tennessee.
Okay. All righty, got you. So you're in a pretty decent area there. Pretty laid back area, I should say. Not necessarily the thriving metropolis that folks live in for
back
sure.
Back in the country, brother.
Right. Now, if you would, I usually like to start off with a little background. So if you would give us a little background on you, and then how you kind of deviated into the whole. Idea of building the ammunition that you've got going.
Well, we started working with the ammunition back in 1996 with the powdered metal projectile. We got introduced to it. I used to be a competition shooter back in the 80s in my day, and learned how to reload. There was an old machinist that taught me how to reload back in 82. So I blowed up and killed enough guns to where, I finally learned how to put together a shell and make it do what we wanted it to do. And so I just started a little reloading business back in, I think, 2003, and got introduced to a powdered metal bullet just based on a lead-free side of it. And wasn't really interested in the lead-free side of it. I wanted to know if there was anything special about it. And I talked to an old guy, and he said, if you want to know how a bullet is going to perform, he said, you got to go kill something. You got to go kill with the bullet. So we called up a place down in Crossville, Tennessee, and told them that we had a bullet we'd been working on, and we wanted to come down and kill some hogs with it, and we wanted to shoot one with a 9mm. And the old guy told me, he said, it'll take about 15 rounds to kill one with a 9mm. He told me, I think, about 7 or 8 rounds to kill one with the .357. And he had all the, you could tell him what caliber you was going to use, and he could tell you how many rounds it would take to kill it.
Right.
And I told him, I said, well, we want to do it with one shot. And he laughed at me, and he said, well, you come on down. And he said, if you kill it with 5 shots, he said, you still got a heck of a bullet. So we went down to Crossville, Tennessee. And we had a 5.56, and we had a 45 and a 9mm. And in the putting the bullets together, learning how to put them together, it's nothing comparable to a lead bullet. It's completely opposite, contrary to what you think a lead bullet would be or do or anything of that nature. So I mean, we've had a heck of a learning experience from 96 when we started working on it up until now. But we shot the first hog with a 45, And, you know, you see things just for a second, and you think, did I really see that? Did that happen? And whenever that bullet hit that hog moved like it was hit with a 16-pound sledgehammer. And so we got over to it. I mean, he went down hard, and it surprised the guy. And he said, well, that's a lucky shot. That, you know, I don't see that. He said, that's a lucky shot. And then whenever we opened him up, that's when all three of our mouths just gapped open when we saw that it was done on the inside. And I knew we had some. I didn't know what we had, but I knew we had something. Whenever the guy said, buddy, he said, I haven't seen a 30-06 do that kind of damage. And, I mean, we was just pulling out internal organs that was just absolute mush. And the bullet went through the shoulder, which if you guys have hunted hogs, you know that that's one of the hardest shots to make is to get around to go through the shoulder and into the internal organs.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sometimes the guy told me, he said sometimes he's seen a 44 mag that wouldn't go all the way through that shoulder plate.
Yep.
So we shot the first one with the 45, and looking at it, and your mind's a wondering, you know, what in the heck is going on? Then we shot the next one with the 223. He was about, I don't know, 65 yards somewhere in that neighborhood. It was at that time, it was a 70-grain bullet. And we shot it, and the pig jumped and then hit the ground and took about two steps and just, I mean, he just went over dead. And we got up to him, opened him up, and, you know, I've in my day, I've shot a lot of deer, elk, other animals, and whenever I open it up, I've never seen the kind of damage that that bullet did on the inside. And the amazing thing about it, there was no exit. And I shot it right behind the shoulder just a little bit. And, you know, for a 223, you would think, well, you know, it didn't go through the other side, thick shoulder bone or whatever. But there was the kind of damage. It was like you put everything in a meat grinder and just turned it on. And it was, I mean, the gel of blood, it was just completely full. Heart, lungs, everything. And so the next one was the 9mm, and that was kind of the test. And so we'd seen what the 45 did. We'd seen what the 223 did. So I told the guy, I said, tell you what let's do. I said, let's turn your dogs loose, because we hadn't used them up until that point. I said, turn your dogs loose. Let's find us one and let the hog fight with the dog so that we can have some type of possible adrenaline flow on the hogs, and let's see how well this thing will actually work. Mm. So we did that. We got to chasing the dogs got on a hog. He was about a 350-pound hog, somewhere in that neighborhood, which is, you know, it's not one of the great big huge ones, but it's still a good size hog. So after the hog had a chance to fight with the dogs, I stepped in and I chased the hog, and then the hog chased me. And once I got a shot on it, I put the shot. I was shooting a 4-inch car, 9mm, and I put the round right through the shoulder. And you could see the hog starting to go down as he went, I guess, maybe about 3 to 5 yards. And the momentum, he was going down, and whenever he got there, he fell over, he kicked a little bit, and that was about the end of the story.
Wow.
And we opened it up, and man, I never, you know, for a 9mm, I've never seen that kind of damage.
That's what I was fixing to say with you know, around here and going after hogs, wouldn't nobody dare carry a 9mm?
Well, I can tell you another one a little bit better than that one, but we knew we had something, but we didn't know what in the world we had, and we didn't know what was going on and how it was working, because, you know, they say you got to make that thing penetrate at least 12 inches in gel block before it's considered to be a tactical bullet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'd mix up the gel, and we'd have it, and we'd shoot it. And if we could get 12 inches of penetration through a gel block, then we go back out in the field and we start shooting hogs with it. It'd go straight through a hog, and we could go over in the bank, pick up the bullet, and reload it if we wanted it to.
Wow.
But when we would go back and fix the bullet, because we could begin, we started to learn how to play with the fragmentation of it. And people always had the ideal that a frangible bullet was just a training bullet. And they really didn't take it serious that it was a, that it could be used for a tactical bullet because it had never been done before. So we started playing with the frangibility of it, and we could get that thing to where it would fragment about 6 or 7 inches in gel, and people would tell us, oh, that won't kill anything. But we'd go back out in the field, and, man, we'd shoot a hog with it, and it would kill it dead. I mean, there wasn't no moving. It was dead. So we were going against ballistics as we had known it for years with as far as the lead bullet's concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, oh, gee, this is going to be an uphill battle, you know, to get people to accept this type of technology. But, you know, every time. And the thing about it is that bullet would fragment whenever it hits. Well, we know what it does now. It fragments whenever it hits fluid-filled tissue. Well, your body, as far as a bullet is concerned, is nothing more than a pressurized electronic walking water cavity. And whenever it goes inside and it hits that fluid-filled tissue, that's what makes that bullet fragment so violently. So we had to go through, you know, a few years and several hogs and pigs and deer before we could kind of put piece together what was going on, because all of our thinking had been wrapped around a lead core bullet, and this thing was doing exactly the opposite. So, you know, for a bunch of country boys, we're sitting there scratching our head, you know, trying to figure out what in the world is going on. So as we began to see that, we did it in the standard calibers, 9mm, 45, 223, and then we went on up to 308, 300 Win Mag, and then we've even made this round in a 675 grain 50 BMG that we shot deer with, and no exit out of the deer with a 50 BMG.
That's amazing.
We shot one.
At what distance, Jeff?
The deer, we've shot deer and hog with it, and the hogs that we shot with it, they were about 45, 50 yards, which is not a not a distance, you know, as far as to kill something with a 50 BMG.
Right, exactly, yeah.
But what we were looking at is what's going to take place with that bullet inside of a soft target.
No, but that speaks to how amazing that is, that at that short of a distance, you know, traditionally a BMG will burn through pretty much anything on the planet at 40, 50 yards. So to be able for it to completely fragment in that, you know, in that
the hog was hit about 8 inches, right in the middle of the hog, and about 8 inches down from the spine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when we got to it, the spine was broken. You could just pull that hog together like a book.
Wow. That's interesting.
And we shot the deer, and it knocked the deer about 4 foot back. That was one of those actual movie shootings in which you see the guy move. Well, this deer actually moved.
Right. I would imagine. Yeah.
And then when we got up to the deer, we opened it up, and the thing that we noticed was, you know, whenever you take a look at the veins in a body, and the veins are real dark red.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all of the veins that was in that deer was white.
Oh, interesting.
And they were flat. It was just like you went in there with an iron and just flattened them out.
Mm-hmm.
They were flat and they were white.
Right.
So I don't know if it created a vacuum, it sucked the blood out. That one's above my pay grade. I don't know.
Right. So, well, you were telling us the story. No, you were telling us the story in pre-chat of how you were shooting at a bucket and it did that. It created like a vacuum. So
yes.
Yeah, it's entirely possible. And that's probably a good thing for, you know, especially if you're talking about wanting to harvest the meat. You know, the quicker you can stop that circulatory system and everything on an animal, the better that meat's going to be.
Yes. I mean, you know, the bullet's going to go in and fragment, and you're going to lose a small, you know, if you do it through the shoulder or something like that, you're going to lose a small portion of meat. But I mean, the animal's not going to get away from you. And it's not going to, you're not going to miss enough that you're going to, you know, think, oh, gee, this thing's damaging too much meat. I don't want to use it. It doesn't do. And once the bullet goes through the shoulder, it goes through the rib. Okay. It doesn't hurt that meat, but the bullet will fragment when it hits that fluid filled gut area.
Mm-hmm. Right. The really soft tissue.
Yes.
Right. Gotcha. Well, there's some people out there asking for a couple of things. So let me grab your YouTube channel here. I already dropped the website a couple times, but I'll throw this link out there because y'all are asking about videos. I know he's got some videos and pictures up. I didn't grab the Instagram. Mike or Ghost or G Web, either one of y'all mind jumping on here in a minute and maybe grabbing?
Grab it right now. I'll grab it in just a second.
Because I know there's some good video and pictures over there too. People might be interested in throw that out as well. And I want to jump over to some questions we've had so far. And then I'll let the panel ask some stuff, and then from there we'll kind of get into the products, Jeff, if you want to.
Okay, sure.
Specifically each one and what they're designed for. Guitar Man Pete out there is asking. I didn't see anything on. I haven't seen anything on your website, so I'm guessing the answer to this is no. But he says, do you offer just the projectiles? And if not, is that something that you've looked into before?
Yes, we will be offering the projectiles up on the website. That's coming.
Okay, because there are some out here that we like to roll our own. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
So,
a few of that.
And it was you alluded to it before, but there was several questions out there. I'm not real sure who all was asking them. There was so many. I know Vanessa Kitty out there was one, and a couple of others that was asking about. You know, are these only designed for eradication, or, you know, if you're hunting for meat, and, you know, is the meat safe to eat? What kind of damage does it actually do to the meat? I think you spoke to that a little bit. That's kind of going to depend on shot placement a little bit, I'm sure, correct?
It is. Here's the advantage that this bullet gives you. Number one, it's lead free. So even if you did eat it, it's not going to hurt you. Okay. But whenever that bullet goes inside and it fragments, against the fluid filled tissue. Now, typically we don't say, you know, take a shot. But if there's a, let's say that there's a 6x6 elk in a broadside, and the only shot that you could get is a gut shot. Most sportsmen won't take that shot because they know, especially if it's a big caliber rifle, they know that thing's going to go through the elk and he's going to take off and run. But with Allegiance, with the Power Strike side of it, take the shot. He will go down. So shot placement is not as critical as it is with a lead core bullet. Whenever it goes inside, it's going to take it down. It's not going to damage that much meat. You might lose let's say where the bullet goes in, if it fragments in a shoulder, you might lose a 4-inch of meat.
Now, not to get into, you know, all the ins and outs, you know, as some of it may be proprietary or whatever, but Vanessa Kitty is following up and is asking, you know, what metals are in it or in the composition of it?
It's copper and copper tungsten and tungsten.
Okay. Okay. Good enough. And then, are all of the, you know, the different lines you've got, I know you've got several different variations from the silent strike to the hog strike to the one strike to the power strike. All of those are lead free, correct?
Yes, sir. Everything that we do is lead free.
Okay. Awesome. And a couple of questions out there from unknown user and then the gun snob too. They're both having to do with expanding the available caliber options. So unknown users talking about a 357 mag, maybe 4570 or 3030. Gun snobs talking about 22-250 or 243. So any plans on expanding? Are y'all slowly trying to do that, or what's the plans there?
Yes, we make a 380, 9mm, 40, 45, 223, and we just finished up with our 308. And we'll probably be taking that same 140 grain bullet, putting it in a 30-30, And as time goes and demand increases for it, we will be adding the calibers.
Right. A 30-30 is a pretty popular, you know, North American hunting round still. So I think that might be a really good move. With that, I'll open it up. Mike, we'll start with you if you've got anything for Jeff.
I only have a few questions right now because everything I wanted to ask has already been put out there. But
I find that very hard to believe.
Oh, trust me, it's going to come around now. So the one question I do have right now is on your website, and everything is just for hunting. Do you have anything that you're going to come up with, whereas it could just be for practical shooting, just training aspect?
No, there's too many guys that's already doing that. We can't compete with them on price wise. Ours is primarily a tactical self-defense hunting round that was designed to stop the threat. We don't have anything now or looking to put anything out there that's just for the training aspect of it.
Okay, I got you on that one, which does make perfect sense. Now, my other question is, you already talked about the knockdown power that this ammo is providing when it's on a live animal. Is the kickback any different than if I was to shoot like 62 grain 5.56 or 223 versus your 62 grain 5.56 or 223?
No, it's basically what we wanted to do is say .115, and then on the 5.56 we've got a 55, a 62, we have a 110, and we also have a 135 in 5.56 for the subsonic that we can talk about later. But ours will have basically the same point of impact, same felt recoil, same accuracy that a standard lead core round will, so that you can practice with the cheaper stuff. And then whenever you need to put it in your mag, you're going to be hitting that same point of impact and same felt recoil.
Yeah, see, that sounds perfect for me, but that's all I have for now.
All right, cool. G-Webs, you got anything for Jeff?
You going to do shotgun slugs?
No plans on getting in the shotgun side of it at this time.
And then the other question would be, what about is there any difference shooting frangible versus standard on the rifle, on the barrel?
None. We have a powder metal core that's inside of a copper jacket, just like a lead core is. So there's no more wear shooting this ammunition as it is shooting lead core ammo.
Oh, so they still got their copper jacket then?
Oh yeah, yeah. We have the only jacketed frangible subsonic round that won't break apart in a suppressor, and that's one of the ways we did that is we put the powder metal into a core, to the jacket, and it forms the application that we need. If you took it very much something along the same lines of a jacket hollow point or a parabol or something like that.
Did you get that, G? He broke up a little bit at first on me.
Yeah.
Okay. Ghost, you got anything for Jeff?
I have one question, but there are two other questions from the chat, and I'll get to those first. Guitar Man Pete wants to know if you sell projectiles, maybe for reloading, I'm assuming, but projectiles and then some data, any loading data?
Oh, I just asked
that.
Yeah. Oh, did you hear that? I didn't hear that. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Okay, I'll move on then.
Yeah, you can answer it again. We can double up. All good.
Okay. Yeah,
I was busy reading the chat. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, the projectiles, in about a month, the projectiles will come online. We'll be selling them, and the load data is pretty much the same for the same standard weight bullet, the 62 grain bullet, our 62 grain bullet. You can use the same load data as you do with lead core bullets.
Okay. There was a question earlier, and I was reading the chat, so you might have asked them too, Clover. So I apologize. I'm you know, my check's going to bounce, I guess.
Yeah, that's not fine.
But they were asking about with the and the energy and the cavity that is created in a hunt. Is the meat still going to be okay to process with the destruction they could do inside the cavity?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Once the bullet goes through, it will fragment on the fluid field tissue area.
Okay, so the meat will be good to go?
The meat will be good to go. Oh, yes. We still got deer and hog in the freezer for what we killed.
I want to say maybe user asked that. I'm not sure, but there you go, user. And my personal question is I'm really interested in the 7.62x39 because I love AK platform, and I've got an AK pistol that is my truck gun. But can you explain some of the data on the 7.62x39? Because I think that could be really interesting.
Yes. We were asked to make a round called the one strike. And we have power strike, one strike, hog strike, and silent strike. And each one of those within those categories serve a different application. And we were approached by a group that wanted a one strike. Well, they wanted the whole platform. They wanted a power strike, one strike, and silent strike. And I'll explain which each one of them is. But the power strike is your standard high velocity type tactical round that you would use outside in the woods or something of that nature. In which you're not worried about creating any collateral damage. That's a 123 grain bullet. I think it's doing about 2,200 feet per second, somewhere in that neighborhood. And, you know, they've only made like one bullet. And here in the last little bit, they've been making heavy bullets, heavy projectiles for the subsonic side of it. But they haven't really finessed the AK-47 very much. It's had the 120 grain solid lead core bullet, and that's it. So what we did is we made a one strike, and the one strike is designed for guarding, protecting, securing sensitive areas and metal enclosures. And they wanted a projectile that would not penetrate a 3 millimeter thin stainless steel pipe when shot head on at 10 feet.
Wow.
But it still had to keep. Now, that was in 5.56. That was the first one strike that we did. And that was the requirement for it, was it could not crack penetrate or even crack a 3 millimeter thin stainless steel pipe shot at 10 feet. But it still had to fragment and kill the bad guy at 200 meters. So that's what we did with that was what we learned in the 5.56, and then we just transferred that over to the 7.62.
So those are lead free?
So those are, say again?
Sorry, are those lead free?
Yes, everything we do is lead free.
That's crazy.
But it's still copper jacketed over the frangible core.
Yes, yes. And the one strike in the 7.62 is a 140 grain bullet, and it's traveling approximately 1,375 feet per second.
Very cool. So, yeah, we're gonna get into the specific products, I think, next. But before we do that, I think Jeff's okay with doing a little giveaway here. So,
absolutely,
is everybody game for that? We'll do a little trivia. We'll see who out there has been paying attention.
If you want to just save some time, I can send him my address here. I can text him or whatever's easier.
Right. Exactly. I'll throw this out in the side chat. We'll see if anybody gets this question. Mike G, you know, Ghost, if you are capable of seeing the side chat and helping me look for whoever answers that one correctly first. But early in the conversation, Jeff was telling us about, you know, some R&D hunts that they went on, and he was talking about shooting a pig with a 9 millimeter pistol. What brand was that pistol? If you were paying attention out there, that's going to be the question, and we'll see if we can't get you some freebies. And the question is, when Jeff was doing the R&D, what brand 9 millimeter pistol was he shooting the pig with? Looks like Calaveras got it. He typoed, but it was
That's no fair. Nobody pays attention to 9mm.
Well, Calaveras, he put a Q instead of an A, but that's like is, right next to the Q.
Is that the foreign way of spelling car, I guess?
We're gonna give it to the tactical pickle because that was just a typo. We know what it is, obviously.
That's the way they spell it in California.
Apparently that's the California compliant spelling of car, I guess. yeah, Calaveras, you've got my email, so if you would, just shoot me an email. So it's easy. I know it's you, and so no confusion there. I will get your information over to Jeff, and we'll make sure you get some kind of goodies. So with that, let's congrats, I guess. And
is Jeff going to give him a car?
Well, Jeff's not going to give him a car.
I'll
let Jeff work out the exact details of all of that, because, you know, we're talking about different products and different calibers and all that. So I don't want
to. And remember, he's in California, so.
That's true, too. So, I mean, I don't want to potentially lock somebody in to.
Usually lead-free ammo is what they're looking for in California, so that's good.
Right, but if it's scary ammo, I don't know that, you know, that's it may be too scary for him. Who knows?
And I think G said off air that he could mail it to him, and he would make sure he gets it to California. I'm sure
he would. At least the empty brass would get
right, that. Right, right.
So yeah. Moving on, let's talk about the products a little bit, and I'm gonna throw out. I think I grabbed. I got to be careful not to grab the actual shop link because YouTube may freak out on me if I do that. But I'm gonna throw the website out there one more time for everybody, and. Oh, if you want to look at that, if you've got questions about the specific products, but we've got several that you do, of course. You mentioned them earlier, the Hog Strike, Silent Strike, One Strike, and the Power Strike. Which one of those was the first one, I guess, is my first question I want to ask, and then I want to follow up with which one is sort of your flagship? Which one do you sell the most of?
The first one that we did was the Power Strike, and that one was basically the easiest one because we had to match the same bullet weight, density, range, accuracy as standard lead core bullets do. And so we did that, and that's more of your outside self-defense tactical type of ammunition. Then we got asked to do particular type of rounds that like inside of an aircraft. They wanted something that would not go through an aircraft seat or an aircraft skin, but would still kill the bad guy. So we came up with the One Strike. And that round, and we've got high-speed video of it showing the 9mm 223, and we also make that in the 7.62. That round will fragment as it goes through a half-inch sheetrock wall. It'll come apart and fragment back to powdered metal dust as it's going through the wall. And we've even got some high-speed video of shooting it through a computer, and you can see it fragmenting as it goes through the computer. So that round would be the perfect situation or the perfect round to have inside your house. Let's say the bad guy breaks in. He gets between you and your loved one. Go ahead and pull the trigger on him because the bullet's not going to go through him and hit somebody else. And in the event that you miss, you hit a computer, you hit the wall or something like that, then the bullet will begin to fragment and dissipate and losing its energy. But it's got the velocity and the energy that whenever it goes inside, it's going to fragment and make for a real bad day on him. So the One Strike is the one for more. The Power Strike is the outside round. The One Strike is the inside round.
Okay.
And you know, metal structures for inside of ships, submarines, aircraft, railroad, that type of situation in which you don't want to, if you shoot, you miss, you don't want that bullet bouncing around, hitting and killing somebody else. You want it to be able to it fragment, lose its energy, and stomp right there. All right, yeah. The next one, that is our claim to fame, so to speak, is the round that all the big boys said could not be done, and that is the full cycling subsonic round in 5.56.
That'd be the silent, right?
That's the silent strike. It's a lead-free frangible round that fully cycles, and we can cycle a 7-inch, 10-inch, 12-inch, 14 and 16-inch AR-15 at 1,050 feet a second. And we make it work in semi and full auto. And we've learned that, you know, everybody and their brother got into the AR-15 business. And they build so many different variations, and they deviate away from a standard NATO stock gun. Well, if your gun, let's say that you buy it off the shelf, if your gun is within spec, then it'll run the silent strike with no problem. But if it don't, then we have the parts, we have the barrel and the spring and everything that you'd be able to put on your gun and make it run at subsonic velocity. And, I mean, that gun, you can be outside, and we've done this demonstration before. People have come by the office to check it out to see what's going on. And I'll have one of the guys that will start in the back shooting with a suppressor, of course, and they'll shoot two or three rounds. And then I'll have one of their guys that's, you know, to verify that, you know, what we're doing when we say that, yeah, this is, we actually shot it. They'll come walking up the building. They'll shoot two or three rounds, and then they walk about, 15 feet closer, shoot two or three rounds, 15 feet, 15 feet until they get up to where the office is at. And then, you know, we'll shoot. And then I'll ask them, well, gentlemen, have you heard it yet? Heard what? And then about that time, I just, you know, let it rip, and they'll shoot about 5, 6, 7, 8 rounds. Yeah, we heard something. And then we step outside, and, you know, the guy's been shooting, you know, a full cycling 5.56 round. And you couldn't hear it. Mm-hmm. So that one, and that was great for hunters. Let's say you're hunting hogs, and if you guys have hunted hogs, you know, sometimes once you spook it, they're gone.
Oh yeah.
We had a group of people that used the silent strike. They were inside the town, and they borrowed our suppressor and gun, and they shot 7 deer inside of town limits in a guy's yard, and he didn't know it until they pulled the truck up to load the deer in the back of the truck. Then the guy stepped outside, wanted to know what was going on. They said, well, we'll just get these deer out of the way. And he couldn't figure out, you know, how did the deer die?
Right. Natural causes? What happened? Yeah.
Well, they told me the story. They shot the one deer, and he dropped. Uh-huh. Well, the other deer just kind of raised up, looked around, and they went over and they nudged the deer, and they couldn't get him up, but they just kept picking.
Right.
Well, they shot the next deer. Boom. He went down. And the deer, they looked up, and they didn't know what was going on. And they nudged, and they went ahead, and they shot all 7 of them. And the guy in the house, he was watching TV. He didn't know what was going on. He didn't hear it until the truck come up to throw the deer in and take off.
Wow. Yeah, noise pollution, I guess you could call it, is a is a big deal, especially if you're talking about coyotes or hogs. A lot of that's done at night. You know, and it may be somebody's property that, you know, they're going to hear a non-suppressed, you know, supersonic gunshot. They're going to hear that. And so it's a little, if you're out there at sometimes 1, 2, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning hunting, you know, it's a little nicer on them if you have something that's good and quiet.
Oh yeah. And I mean, this one, you know, usually the other subsonic that's out there, you got to pull the trigger, and then you got to, jerk the bolt back, cycle it, pull the trigger and pull the bolt back and cycle it. With this stuff, you just, you know, you put the mag in and you, it'll go full auto if you want it to.
Right. Right. So your power strike is your outdoor. Basically the one strike is your indoor. Silent strike, obviously you're quiet, you're subsonic. Now what's different about the hog strike?
The hog strike, has a little bit different jacket. Sometimes you've got to get through, you know, thick bone and or thick hide. And so we've got that one just a little bit different than the power. They're close. They're close. But the hog strikes, the intention behind the hog strike is in case you've got to go through that real thick shoulder bone, You got to go through the skull. And that's another thing with a powder metal bullet, that a lead bullet will sometimes bounce off the skull of a hog. I don't know if you guys have ever had that happen to you, but I have. And a lead bullet will hit, man, it'll just mushroom and just bounce off like a ball.
Right.
Whereas a powdered metal bullet, the density is different, the makeup is different. It's not as malleable as what a lead bullet is, and the powdered metal bullet will just bust through a skull like it's not even there and go right through the shoulder. So the hog strike is made for a little deeper penetration.
Okay. Now,
I have a good suggestion.
Yeah.
It sounds like looking through your different models, the hog strike, the silent strike, the one strike, and the power strike. As you're developing these rounds, if you ever come up with one that has a low light signature, but it sometimes hits and sometimes misses, I would suggest calling it Night Strike in honor of one of the guys who watches this show.
Gotcha. Okay.
There you go.
But you got to be yelling, "Shall not be infringed" when you shoot it.
And it may have to miss more than it hits. So that may,
exactly.
That may be like a failed round. Maybe if you do blimps on your site, you ever have blimps, maybe you call those the Night Strike. Maybe that's what you need to do.
Hey, Cole, I got a couple of questions. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I had one I was going to ask real quick. And then I'll run it through the panel here. And also I'll get to some, there's some chat questions out there as well on the products. But I had a question. I do a lot of subsonic, Jeff, obviously. And one question in the last few weeks or whatever, kind of talking about you coming on, talking to buddies, people online, whatever, they were talking about the weight of these projectiles and everything and having to do with barrel twists. How do you, faster twist, heavier projectile, that whole scenario, what's the story with your ammunition and weight versus barrel twist, and as far as getting any kind of yaw or tumbling or anything like that? Is that something you had to deal with and figure out and overcome, or did it just work out for you?
We had to figure it out what was going on. It's the barrel. The barrel is the whole secret to it. With the heavy bullets, with 110 and 135, and we've even gotten up to 145 grain bullet in 5.56. But we stopped at the 135. That's where past that it becomes extremely expensive to deal with. Mm-hmm. But hammer forged barrels, they've been around. A hammer forged barrel was made back World War One, World War Two, and they were made for machine guns. You get hot, twist them off, throw them away, put another one on. And they've continued to do that and to make barrels that way because it's cheap. It's easy to do. It's easier to make a hammer forged barrel than it is a button barrel. And the inconsistency of it is what one of the things that we had to work with to overcome that. And the stress in the barrel, the twist of the barrel, and, we started narrowing it down. You have to have to really stabilize those bullets. You have to have a minimum of a 1-in-7 twist. Now we've got some of our barrels that we've got a 1-in-5, 1-in-3, that kind of thing. We play with different twists, different lengths, the whole nine yards. Mm. But if you've got a 1-in-7, you'll be okay with it.
Okay, gotcha. And that's pretty standard for those that run typical 90 grain projectiles, 85 grain projectiles, stuff like that. That's pretty common. So.
Yes, and you need a NATO.
Did you say you tested a 1-in-3 twist?
Yes, sir. 1-in-3.
How'd that go?
It went extremely well.
Yeah.
Wow.
If you wanted to make, we now know how to make subsonic run in practically about anything and everything. And if you want something and that's one of the things that we're going to be offering is subsonic barrels. It's not that it's so much special, but it's just helped to a higher degree of quality.
Right.
And we've learned some things. We call it mathematically calculating the twist to the bullet weight. Mm-hmm. And you will definitely see. I mean, we've got standard deviations in the barrels that we've had made for us. We've got standard deviations of 7 foot per second. Whereas with a hammer forged barrel, we see standard deviations of 55, 65 feet per second.
Wow.
The same ammo. So a hammer forged barrel, it's a cheap barrel, and you can do it's like a bag phone versus the iPhone Model 10 or whatever it is. That's the difference in it. And the accuracy, you'll see a tremendously big improvement in accuracy. And there's no hammer forged barrels that's ever won a match that holds any kind of championship long range shooting.
Right.
It just wasn't made for it.
Sure.
So, but we'll be offering the subsonic package with the correct spring, with the correct buffer rod, and with a barrel.
Very nice. So you can have a completely customizable for your ammo there, which is pretty. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and
that's a pretty cool thing.
The thing about it is, you know, there's some subsonic packages that you have to have a special gas adjustable gas block or certain ammo or things like that. With these barrels, we wanted to keep it to whereas you don't have to have special ammo or special tooling or special this. If you want to shoot standard cheap 55 grain full metal jacket, you can. You want to go up to the Silent Strike, you can. Just change mags is all you got to do.
Right. Yep.
So you'll be able to, if you buy the one barrel, you can shoot any kind of ammo you want in it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, awesome. Well, that answers that one. Ghost, I'll open it up to you. I'll start on your end. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was on mute. No, I just said there's a couple of questions up from the chat. Let me scroll back up. And Calaveras out there says, how much terminal energy does a 5.56 and 308 have?
How much terminal energy?
That's what the question is, yeah.
That's a good one. That's a good one. We can give you the foot pounds of energy, the terminal energy. Analogy to what these rounds do and what we've noticed in game animals and what we've had guys that's used them overseas tell us is once this bullet goes inside, and if you can kind of imagine a lead bullet that's traveling straight through a gel block. We'll say a gel block. The gel block will expand, and then it contracts back, okay? And there's one vertical wound channel. Now, whenever one of these bullets goes in, and it begins to fragment, and we can show you what we're talking about whenever we say an expanding rotational cone of metal particles that's opening up. It's like a fan. If you see a fan and the fan is getting bigger, you have not only do you have vertical damage, but you have horizontal damage as well. So it would be the same analogy is if you was able to take a grenade, a small grenade, and throw it down their throat and pull the pin. That's the energy and the way that this bullet reacts.
It sounds like you're talking about, too, on a very shortened scale. It sounds almost like you're talking about a shotgun blast or a shotgun pattern.
How it cones
at the same time that you have a twist, but, I mean, in a very, very short area, of course. Shotgun, it happens over a number of yards, and you're talking about it happening over a number of inches or less.
Inches, yeah.
In jail, especially the one strike is going at a higher velocity. The power strike's just a little bit further, but in jail, we see that bullet starting to fragment and fragment apart within about an inch and a half to 2 inches.
Holy
inside
cow.
That jail block. It's opening up.
Wow.
So, you know, people, and the reason they say that is, you know, people will say that, oh, you've got to get 10 inches of penetration to be able to punch through a body so it will bleed out. And that's the way of thinking, at the FBI has had for years. But
internal bleeding does as much damage.
Yeah. While that guy is bleeding out, he can shoot back at you. But the difference in a standard jacket hollow point or a copper solid bullet or anything of that nature, if you go in, if that bullet hits and it goes in and it wipes out and completely destroys the first 6 to 8 inches, that sends your body into shock trauma.
Right.
And it locks up and it shuts down quicker than bleeding out.
Right.
Wow. In the game animals that we've noticed, whenever we shoot them, they tense up. You'll actually see them. Whenever you play it back in slow motion, you'll actually see the animal tense up and then drop. And then the guys that used it, they said that, you know, they noticed the very same thing. And what that is the body is going into shock, and it's got so much trauma that it shuts down the central nervous system. And if you do that, brother, he's out of the fight.
Wow. I just got one more from Rich White. He wants to know, in the Power Strike 380 70 grain, do you know what the energy generated by that is?
It's a 70 grain bullet traveling approximately 1050 feet per second. And if I can remember the math on that, I think it's about 290 some foot pounds of energy.
Wow.
And by the way, if you've got the weight of the projectile and the velocity, you would have to go do Google Foo on the calculation, because I don't remember the exact formula, but it's pretty easy to do your energy calculations.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just a plug and play. Now,
those that reload already know that, but for those that don't,
just
throwing that out there.
One of the things that we've learned about this type of bullet is it's not how much energy you have, but it's how effective that you can displace that energy inside the target. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, a 44 mag has got, gosh, I don't know what, 700 foot-pounds of energy?
Mm-hmm.
But it'll shoot straight through you. All of that energy is, you know, gone outside the body.
Right.
We have taken, and I've got pictures of it. I took my daughter on a hunt, and she killed a 475-pound Russian boar one shot with a 32 H&R. I have killed 400-pound hogs one shot with a 380.
Wow.
And it's because we were able to displace all of that energy spread out over a wide area, you know, boom, with just in a, you know, nanosecond.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had police officers that have killed. They came down. He was a good friend of mine, and he came down, and we took a 32 ACP, and it took. He was about a 425-pound hog, and it took him three shots through the shoulder, with using a 32 ACP. They laughed at us when we come down and said we want to shoot a hog with a 380 and a 32. They just laughed at us.
That all you got, Ghost?
I'm sorry. Yep, that's all I got. Thanks.
All right, cool. G-Web, you got anything? Are you muted?
I'm muted. No, I've been interested in what you've been talking about, but I haven't come up with any other questions.
Okay, awesome. Mike, you got anything on deck?
Yeah, I do have a question. I do understand Hornady uses that the various tips for balance and shot distance. Has anybody ever tried to compare your product to a Hornady product in any type way?
Not that I'm aware of, but there was a gentleman that walked into the shop and he wanted to test his. He was carrying the XTP 380. I think it's a 90 grain. If anybody can fill in that blank there, I think it's a 90 grain XTP hollow point. Mm-hmm. He wanted to compare that against our 380 70 grain because his thoughts was, well, it's a bigger, heavier bullet. It's going to be more energy. And so we had a used gel block. It was a 4x4. It's a 4x4 by 9-inch gel block. And it had been shot quite a bit. So we put the gel block up and we said, okay, shoot it. See what happens. He shot the gel block and it moved about a half inch with the Hornady round. And I said, okay, now, you know, here's our shoot it. He shot it, and it knocked the gel block off of the wooden block that it was sitting on. So there's more energy displaced whenever that bullet fragments and expands out than it is with a jacket hollow point.
Right.
So I don't know of anybody that's compared the Allegiance line to Hornady or to any other at this time.
Gotcha. And then another question I have is flash signature when you're shooting suppress. Did y'all figure out a way to not have that signature, or did it eliminate it altogether?
Well, you got a can on the end of the gun, and what we try to do is use as low flash powder as we possibly can, and that still generates the pressure to be able to function the gun. So it's a matter of powder selection.
Okay.
And one of the things that we've done in our testing is at night, we'll be roughly about, 100 yards off, out and away, and the people will be in the light, and then the shooter will be over 7,500 yards away and shoot, and we see if we can locate where the shooter's at. So we do testing that way to see, you know, how much flash is it putting off with the can, without a can. And without the can, it puts off a little bit, but it's very, very little.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's all I have right there, Clove.
All right, I've got several here from the chat. We'll go through real quick, and then we'll start winding her down. Guitar Man Pete out there is asking, have y'all experienced, gotten any feedback, experienced any issues, any feeding issues that you've had to overcome, or maybe people have had with the ammo?
We use a round nose in the handgun. We use a round nose ball design because, you know, round nose is your most reliable feeding. And, we haven't, the only gun that we've run into has been the CZ that has it's a European, spec. And we had to change our nose a little bit to be able to fit it. But we did that, and as far as we know, there's, and I'm sure that there's going to be some gun somewhere out there, some way that won't feed. But for the most part, it feeds through every gun out there. The only other gun problem that we run into on feeding is with a subsonic. If a guy buys it and he has a 223 Wild or a 223 Remington chamber, and that big round nose won't go up into a 223 Remington chamber.
Okay, gotcha. And unknown user has got one out there. He says, "What kind of blowback does the 5.56 suppressed produce?
What kind of recoil?"
I think he's pretty much asking the blowback when it's suppressed, because, you know, like how a lot of times when you're shooting suppressed, you get the gases that blow back in your eye.
Well, that's going to depend upon the suppressor, not the ammo. Mm-hmm. Now, we use the NG2 suppressor, and that's zero back pressure.
Ah, okay.
So with that particular can, there's nothing that comes back in the shooter's face, in the eyes, or anything like that. But there's other suppressors out there that will cause the blowback to come back in your face. So with the ammunition, the answer to that is there's no back pressure.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So it depends on the can. Easy enough.
Yeah.
Now, Two Live Moo out there, he says, do you know the minimum velocity for the 5.56 rounds to perform?
The minimum velocity to perform, I guess, for fragmentation.
Right. Yeah, I guess that's what he's asking. Yeah.
Yeah. The 30 cals will still perform somewhat under 900.
Wow.
When you start dropping below 900, then it's going to act like a full metal jacket and
wow.
Go on through. I mean, we have actually made the 300 blackout, let's see, in the 5.56 as well on certain applications with the 135-grain bullet. We've actually made the guns function at 675 feet per second.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the bullets, the you know, obviously the gun functioned, but the bullet didn't fragment. But on the 30 cals, they'll fragment down around the 900 foot per second range. They'll still fragment somewhat. The 5.56, once you drop below the 1,000 foot mark, it's going to act like a full metal jacket.
That's still insane, though. that's still
it's wicked, brother.
Yeah, wicked. That's still pretty crazy. Yeah, you act like that's a bad thing. You're like, well, you know, I hate to tell you, but you're just not going to be happy with it, because if it drops below 1,000, and I'm over here thinking, good Lord, that's crazy. Jumpy out there. We'll get Jumpy's question in here, and then I think we're going to have to start closing her up. But
I have one more after Jumpy's.
Okay, if you do, we'll get it.
It's a simple one.
Okay, yeah, we'll sneak it in then. Jumpy out there says... he's asking about the consistency of your ammunition. Have you tested it with in temperature ranges?
Yes, it's works the same. We've done the 120 degrees and the 20 or 30 below, mm-hmm. And we see this consistency is good.
Okay, yeah, you were talking earlier, I think, about the deviations on that. So I don't remember exactly what you were saying, but yeah, Ghost. What you got?
Gun Snob wants to know, what's your everyday carry ammo that you're using?
I've moved up to another car. I love a car. That's just, you know, personal preference. But I've got three of the Power Strikes. I got one to pipe, two in the mag. And then if I have to go deeper, I've got the 135 9mm subsonic.
Wow.
Interesting. That's an interesting loadout there.
Yeah, very cool.
I mean, we've shot hogs with 9mm one shot, and we have killed them dead with that. I feel really, really confident in that 9mm that anything that I would have to stop, I would be able to do that.
So all you right. said you have one in the chamber, and the first two are the Power Strike, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and then the rest of it goes subsonic?
The rest of it's 135, the tungsten subsonic, in case I've got to go deeper.
What is that, about 1050, or how many feet per second is that? Do you remember?
That one is running about 1050.
Okay, thanks.
I've got another question.
Yeah, go ahead, Gene.
Where does the name of the company come from, Allegiance?
Oh, geez. I guess maybe a little bit on the patriotic side. I mean, we're a small company. We're a small company, and the technology is there. And it was, you know, I guess it just hit. We pledge allegiance to the United States of America to make the absolute best freaking badass round of ammunition in the world.
There you go.
Found in
the. I like it.
That should
be on a patch, man.
I was worried about your story there for a minute, but you pulled it out. You passed the test. So,
all right.
Well, before we get out of here, you want to give away another goodie?
Sure.
So let's do this, and let me go find.
I'm going to drop out of chat, so I might be able to get in the competition here.
Kidding. I'll put the answer here. In the
guys, if you'll send me your ship to address, I'll send you up a box of the 9mm.
Let's get this. I got the answer to the question I'm going to ask in the side chat, if anybody helped. So hopefully everybody out there was paying attention. Hopefully you are paying attention now. So we're gonna give away some goodies here again before we get out of here. And the question is, we've been talking about this last half of the show, been talking about the products, and basically four different product lines there. What is the name of the indoor home defense product line from Allegiance Ammunition? Should be simple enough. First one to get that, the home defense product line. Calaveras, I'm gonna disqualify you, by the way, just so you're aware, because you've already won. Looks like we got the gun snob out there. So, gun snob, and here comes everybody else right behind him. But gun snob snuck in just under the wire. So, congrats, gun snob. I should have you on file. But shoot me an email, regardless. That way, I can get your information over to Jeff as well, and he can get you hooked up. With that, we're gonna start cleaning house a little bit. So let me run this through the panel first. And see if my helpers for the night have anything they need to plug, get off their chest, or any final words. So, Mike, we'll start on your end. What you got, buddy?
I'm gonna keep it short. I'm getting back into competition shooting. So, if anybody want to help me out with bullet purchase or anything else I need for travel expenses, please go to my Patreon and help me out there. You can find all my other information and everything else that I'm a part of by going to www.m-wtactical.com. Click on media links and you can see the other platforms that I'm associated with, as far as nightly conversations, podcasts, product reviews, and our GoFundMe campaign.
All right. Thanks for helping out, Mike. Appreciate it.
No problem. Anytime.
G-Web, you got anything to say before we get?
No, thanks again for the invite. Been interesting hearing about the ammo. I'm always a big fan of ammo.
All right. Thanks for jumping in, G. Appreciate it. Yeah. Ghost, what do you got?
It's Friday night, so you know what that means. This weekend, try to get out to the range, get some shooting in, become more proficient with your firearm. Try to take someone with you, especially if they're maybe not sure if they like guns or not, and try to teach them the safe and the proper way and let them have fun out there. Maybe we can help change their minds, and while you're at it, turn your camera on, become part of the community. And if you really want to get dumber, go check out our website, www.ghosttacticalproductions.com. You'll find all of our media links with the Armed Citizen podcast. And I did drop a video today on a really cool training system. So go check it out as well. Thanks for having me, buddy.
You bet. Thanks for jumping in. And let me grab a couple of things here. Let me find what I'm looking for. While I'm doing that, I will say, Jeff, thanks for jumping in, buddy. We great conversation. Had a pleasure talking with you. Any last, final thoughts or words you've got to get out of here?
If anybody's got any questions, shoot me an email. Phone number's on the website. Give us a shout. And anybody that uses the ammo in hunting, if they take down the hog, a deer, or whatever, they use it, they send us pictures, we'll give them half off on the next box of ammo that they buy.
Wow, that's a deal.
That's impressive right there.
That's some incentive right there. I can tell you right now, that's awesome.
We want field results so that we can make the absolute best ammo in the world.
Right, yeah, and that's the way you get it. Wow. That's amazing. So, I dropped the website out there again for Allegiance Ammunition. So, just got the contact information on there. You can sort of check out pricing and get a little more information about the stuff. But I'm sure Jeff's open to those questions. If you have further questions about, what you need for your particular application, then, shoot him an email from that. Get with him. With that, we are going to we're going to get out of here, I think, because the weekend is upon us. And, I want to get started on that as quickly as possible. So, hopefully everybody has a great weekend. Spend time with friends, family, hug those kiddos, tell them you love them, all of that good stuff. Get out to the range if you can. Have fun. Above all else, be safe. And we'll catch everybody next week. Bye.
Thank you, guys.